to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. And, oh, I'm excited about this guest. Everyone that's a fan of the comic book The Punisher is going to love this coming up on Netflix. So I'm excited to welcome the program, Ben Barnes of The Punisher.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are
you,
Ben? Good morning. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the story of how you got this role. This has got to be really cool to go against a hero like that and be that villain that's going to be really hated in this show, right?
Well, I don't know. Our take on the series is definitely a very intriguing one. They definitely haven't exactly stuck to the canon of what people might expect if they're huge sort of if they're huge Punisher fans or huge kind of avid kind of comic book readers. We've definitely shaped and really grounded the series. You know, it's one of the only superhero shows where nobody really has any superpowers, and it's got very complicated. Complicated characters with very traumatic pasts. They're all kind of exploring different types of loss and trauma. And we have a main character, a hero who is really an anti-hero with suffering from PTSD. He's lost his family, so it's a very kind of twisted, interesting, take on a character who lives in the kind of superhero universe. So it's a really kind of interesting take on it. And, you know, I auditioned in Los Angeles, and because, you know, Marvel keeps everything so secret, you're not actually auditioning with scenes from the show itself. They'll write these scenes specifically for you. And in my case, they wrote a fantastic speech about a kid who was beating up another kid with a baseball bat. And I just thought this scene was so fantastic and terrifying, but it was about, you know, 7-year-olds, and so I called them up. I said, if this speech is in the show, I'll do it. And they said, it's not. And I said, okay, I'll do it anyway.
You know, when you think about, you said this character, the Punisher, and explain a little bit about the comic book series for somebody that might not understand, especially if they're going to get into this show and like the superhero. Tell about that main character and then about your character.
So, the Punisher is a character who has come back from war in the Middle East, and his family essentially have been assassinated. And it's basically a mystery story as to getting to the bottom of who is responsible for this. But along the way, because he's suffering from PTSD and a lot of kind of personal struggles, his sort of morality becomes compromised, and he sort of takes out trouble wherever he finds it, wherever he feels that he finds moral ambiguity. He feels it's his job to become, you know, judge and jury and be the vigilante that sort of takes care of it. And that's how we saw him, actually, when the character cameoed in the Daredevil series. We saw him behaving in this way. But now he's the sort of the hero of our show, the lead of our show. And so we go much more into, you know, his psyche and his, you know, his psychology and how, you know, these things that he is going through. And then we meet a variety of other characters around him who are dealing with, you know, coming back from war and suffering in different ways by starting veterans groups. You know, there's one character who is trying to reenact, you know, the situations that he found himself in at war because that makes him feel like there's something close to him that he understands. And then I play the character, called Billy Russo, who was Frank Castle, who is the Punisher, Frank Castle's best friend from the armed forces, and he's now running a private military operation, a sort of a Blackwater type company. So he's become a very kind of slick businessman type. So and he's kind of Frank Castle's best friend, as it were.
Interesting. Okay, and so that your character is, in a way, you said that the characters are a lot different in a way to figure out who's good and who's evil in this, it sounds like, then, right? In a way?
Absolutely, yeah. I think a lot of these shows are very much set up like, okay, so here's the guy with the hood or the cape, and so he's the guy you're rooting for, and then here's the guy who is, you know, kind of slamming someone's head in a car door the first time you ever see him, and so you know he's not good news. And our show, I think, you know, because our protagonist is a lot more morally ambiguous and you're never quite sure whether you're supposed to be even rooting for him, then I think the other characters all kind of live in this kind of grey, morally ambiguous area too. And so you know, along with the mystery of trying to find out kind of how what happened to his family, you're also kind of intrigued by all these characters and trying to work out which one, you know, whose side you're on, really.
And what's happening is we can't give this up, let people know what's going to happen. But your character going with the main character, in a way, we'll see if that relationship continues to stay the same, right? Or change.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the closer, yeah, more intimate, yeah, people's relationships and friendships, you know, the more easily they can be betrayed. Really, really avid fans of comics know what the name Billy Russo is, so I think it's there's clues along the way.
But for people that are just tuning in, because again, a lot of people go from the big screen or Netflix, not the comic, and that's what's so fun about this.
Exactly, and for those people, you know, there'll be a much more kind of slowly drawn out experience of finding out what these men become.
Absolutely. And I love the idea that you talk about the PTSD and bring that out. That's great. Marvel made a character like that struggles. Not a lot of superheroes don't struggle. A lot of them aren't able to go through lots of hard times. Now people, especially military, thinking about PTSD, they can really say, oh wow, I got a character I can really go to understand their pain and their sorrow and what they're dealing with.
Absolutely, and I think that was the whole ethos of, you know, the Netflix Marvel collaboration on these shows. I mean, it was kind of, I don't want to say revolutionary because that's a very big word, but in the second episode of Daredevil, there was this incredible fight sequence in which the character of Daredevil starts to become very tired the more that he fights, and you realize that if you've ever watched a fight on the street, after 10 minutes, the people are exhausted, and they would finally show that superheroes are people, and they showed this fantastic sequence, and I think it was kind of really interesting that we watched this character become exhausted, and I think this is just, you know, just taking that one step further. It's pushing that into people's past, and you know, people are mentally exhausted, and people are stressed, and people are complicated, and people suffer. You never know what somebody that you're talking to is dealing with in their own lives, and so I think this kind of pushes that a little bit further, you know, within that same kind of universe.
Well, fantastic, Ben. I know people need to connect with you in some way, especially social media wise, because you know how comic book fans are, and how they're so into the social media and the connections and all that. Where can we connect with you, Ben? Best place to connect with you?
Oh, I have an Instagram and a Twitter. It's just at Ben Barnes, and I have a backlog of little photos and videos that I take on set. I took them on set on Westworld and on The Punisher, but I'm always embargoed. They never let you post anything until the show is out, because you don't want to kind of ruin any surprises, and so I can drip feed them after the shows come out.
Well, congratulations on the success of Westworld and being part of that as well, Ben. I wanted to let you know about that as well, and when
thanks so much.
Things are going on. It's again another very interesting show. Everyone needs to tune in to The Punisher on Friday, November 17th. It'll be available on Netflix. Thanks again for calling, Ben. Best of luck, and thanks for coming on the show. Take care.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
The Neil Haley Show. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. And I'm excited to welcome the host of The Amazing Race, Phil Kogan. Phil, thanks for calling, and I know you're excited about this project, the documentary. One thing I wanted to ask you was about your near-death experience.
some people, you know, have watched you on The Amazing Race for so many years, but don't know about that story.
Yeah, it happened at the start of my career when I was 19. I was filming a story about a ship that sank in about 120 feet of water in New Zealand. And when you're 19, you don't think, you think you're invincible. I certainly did. And I found myself deep down inside a 22,000-ton shipwreck, separated from my dive partner, drifting through massive steel ship and not knowing if I was going to get out alive or not. And I obviously survived that experience and made it a mission of mine to live by a life list. I guess today people call them a bucket list.
Right.
And I've been preparing to tick off things from that list ever since.
And that's tremendous. And that's what continues to make you want to continue to experience amazing things, as you've experienced with The Amazing Race. The countries you've traveled to, oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, the Amazing Race just seemed to line up perfectly with my philosophy, which is no opportunity wasted, my personal philosophy of living life to the fullest. And so I've been involved with Amazing Race now for 16 years, and it had perfect synergy with my personal philosophy. I love watching people take on a life-changing challenge on Amazing Race. So I guess it was meant to be.
Well, definitely, this documentary coming up involving the Tour de France and talking about 1928. It's very interesting, fascinating. I have a degree in undergrad in history. And when I just started watching a little bit of the trailer, it's just fascinating to know how much of a challenge that Tour de France was compared to today. In 1928 was just a time where it was very, very challenging to be part of that, right?
Yeah, so the Tour de France started in 1903. It really is truly, I think, the first of the big amazing races, if you like. It's the biggest spectator sport in the world. People can see their heroes. They can get right next to their heroes on the course. And I found a story about the 1928 Tour de France, which was when the first English-speaking team rode in the Tour de France. One New Zealander and three Australians, an underdog team. There were only four of them, and they were racing against teams of 10. And the 1928 Tour de France happened to have the highest attrition rate of any Tour de France in history. And so I decided that my wife and producing partner and I, we decided that we would bring that story back to life. And the way we decided to do that was to get a 1928 bicycle that weighs twice as much as a modern bike does today, that has no gears and marginal brakes, and retrace every mile, stick to the schedule, ride the exact course, go through the same towns, 3,338 miles, completely circumnavigating France, and bring this story to life. And so the film was the first feature documentary shot with an F55 4K Sony camera. And so it's a visual spectacle, which is why we're so excited about sharing it with people across America on November the 9th. So we have a one-night-only screening in about 200 theaters all across America. The goal, when you make something like this and you pour blood, sweat, and tears into making an independent film like this, you want people to see it the way films are meant to be seen, which is on the big screen. Because, you know, eventually films end up on your iPad and your TV and on the black back of a plane seat somewhere. But, you know, when you put this much effort into making a story like this, you want people to see it on a big screen.
Absolutely, and that's why everyone needs to go ahead and check out, again, Regal Cinemas across the country Thursday, November 9th. But what I wanted to bring up, Phil, when I was watching just a little bit of this, is the fact of the challenge of people who might not even know the Tour de France today compared to retracing 1928. With that kind of bike and the challenges that they had to go through to survive, which really relates, as you said, to the Amazing Race in certain ways. And you were part of this, to be part of this history to recreate it, it's spectacular, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I feel that in order to really communicate just how difficult it was back then, the only way to really share that with the audience is to actually go through what they went through. So they had we were riding an average of 150 miles a day. They had seven stages over 200 miles. The death stage was over 200 miles and over 20,000 vertical feet. The winning time of that stage, which was stage nine, was 18 and a half hours. We were shooting a film at the same time as doing the ride, so we ended up taking 23 and a half hours shooting straight for 23 and a half hours to try to complete that stage. So it was a really incredible challenge, a really, really tough challenge.
A very, very tough challenge, to say the least. You're absolutely right. And how physically was it challenging on you yourself?
Well, if you'll see in the film that there were moments where we were hallucinating because we just got so exhausted. Really, really, really tough challenge. I mean, there's nothing tougher. I've never done anything tougher in my life. It was brutal. It really was brutal.
Wow. Definitely people need to check it out. So the best place so we can find out which theaters are playing this, you said 200 theaters across the country, Thursday, November 9th. Is there a website people can go to or something so that we can find info on it?
Yeah.
This theater?
Yeah, I mean, apart from just Googling it, Leride, LERIDE, and looking for theaters near you, the other way you could do it is you can go to us.demand.film. That's us.demand.film, and then /Leride, L-E, and then new word, R-I-D-E. And you'll see that it's playing in about 200 theaters across the United States. And, again, I really hope people get to see it on the big screen. Eventually it'll end up on a bunch of platforms all over the place. But, really, this is something that we took a lot of time and effort to make it in what is the equivalent of super 35mm film. So, obviously, we're keen for people to see it that way on the big screen.
And I think the Amazing Race contestants are now going to even have even greater respect for you, Phil, now because you were part of this. Because now they're saying, hey, he's gone through a lot of what we do on the show, in a way.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. I mean, I think anybody who goes on Amazing Race deserves huge credit. I think, hosting a show like that, you want to be legit. You want to be somebody that people think would be able to take on the Amazing Race as well, just so that, I'm an authentic host, I guess.
Yeah, you're definitely an authentic host, Phil. Best place we can follow you and find you connecting social media-wise, where can we go?
You could just go to noopportunitywasted.com, or you can go to philcoganleride.com.
All right. Well, fantastic, Phil. Best of luck with the film. Thanks for coming on the show, and take care.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. You're welcome. We'll be back in just a moment.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.